The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/expat2020. Hey everybody, welcome to The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. This is episode 28. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Dan. How you doing this week, Dan?
I'm just dandy, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing good, man, doing good. We're going to talk about it later, but of course, the earthquake that hit last week. It was pretty rocking, man.
Sounds all right.
7.1 on the good old Richter scale. Yeah.
Flippity flop.
Yeah, of course, we back 10 years ago now, back in 2011, we had the 9.0 out here in, Japan. And, the one that we had last week, it paled in comparison to that one. But I mean, it shook the complex pretty good. Luckily, there was no damage or anything. Just the power went out for about 3 hours and then it was restored. And today, we have a special guest, Burlyman Gaming. Welcome to the show again. And Burly, why don't you tell us and some of the new listeners out there a little bit about yourself and what you've been playing this last week and what you've been live streaming since you're a variety streamer and all.
Hi, I'm Burlyman Gaming, a Canadian streamer. I've currently, the last bit, have been streaming Final Fantasy IX. Mm-hmm. It's a game I have played before, but it's been, I don't know, like 10 plus years since I've played. But now that I've beaten, as of last year, I've beaten every mainline Final Fantasy. So I'm going through and now seeing what I can notice that I've beaten more of the entries at that point since I played the game the first time. I stream all kinds of things. On Sundays, I do Demon Souls Remake because my audience wanted to see me suffer. Because I made that a sub goal, and I learned. Not very many people are going to want to go for that, but it got met. Oh, it got met.
But that game is brutal. It's so mean.
It is mean. It's actually kind of fun though. Mm-hmm. The Demon's Souls remake. I've had fun. I'm not going to lie. There are times I pissed off. But it does teach you stuff of A, you can't rush into this, and A, you have to really think before you do.
Yeah.
It's like, do I really want to go into this situation with what I have? And you have to think your strategies before you do for bosses and stuff like that. And I do like that, but there are some bullshit stuff. Like, I'm at an area, I beat the boss twice, technically, but because you have to, the game doesn't tell you this. You have to kill an enemy off screen, off the side on one path, and then go in, kill the boss. That way, now the gargoyles will spawn and take you to the next area.
I see.
Yeah. Sounds a bit broken.
Cool. So, welcome again, Burly, for your fourth appearance. My bad. So my apologies there. The fourth appearance on the show, and we're looking forward to having you on. And today we're going to be, Dan, talking about the Nintendo Direct.
Whee!
So I know you guys got a lot to say about that. Ahead in our show today. Also in the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about the opening ceremony for BlizzCon 2021. Exactly. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Our topic of the show, we're going to be talking about WB Games and their patent of the Nemesis engine. We'll be talking about that a little bit as well. But before that, before jumping into what Dan and I have been playing, I want to tell everyone out there that this episode will be going up on Patreon at patreon.com/expat2020 in early access for the first 3 days after recording. So if you'd like to support the show and become a patron, and Burlyman Gaming, he is one of our patrons, and we really appreciate you. at the entry tier one level at $1 per month and get early access to every episode and listen ad-free along with other perks, including exclusive post-show content that we do after every show and special bonus episodes. Please visit patreon.com/expat2020 for further details. On Tuesdays each week, the podcast will be uploaded to all of the free podcast services where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and my YouTube channel, Expat2020 Gaming. Just download your favorite podcast app or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a website for the podcast at expat2020.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena, AMPGMP, which stands for a multi-platform gaming news podcast, as well as on Instagram at @TheArena_podcast. So, Dan, I was watching you on your Twitch channel a little bit. You were driving like a dump truck or something. Yeah,
I was mud running. I got a copy of Mud Runner, and it's a nice little sim. And I was driving. Yeah, driving a big Soviet looking vehicle through some desolate Soviet looking landscape, looking for logs. And that's pretty much the entire game.
Wow.
It's good. It's very chill. Very relaxing, though. It's all right. Other than that, I finished Phantasy Star 1 on the Master System. I finished it. Whee! Now,
wow.
That is an achievement. Not so much because I had to use a guide. Now, if back in 1998, someone finished that game without using a guide, I mean, I don't believe it happened. The game is borderline autistic in places. Like, there's some insane leaps of logic. No one finished that game without using a guide. But I had fun. It was a good game. Good game. So, yeah. And, of course, Mario 3D World, which is awesome. That's my this week.
I see. Yeah, for me, just Assassin's Creed Valhalla still. But I was playing it right in the middle of when the earthquake happened and everything blacked out. And I was freaking out because I thought I would lose all of my progress, all 120-plus hours that I've put into the game so far.
Of course you won't.
But luckily I didn't. So moving along with that. I'm going to finish at some point.
Yeah.
But going through province after province. I'm at level 130 something right now, I think.
Mm.
Or no, 157 I think it is.
Bloody hell.
Pushing along with that. That's about it. Hopefully I can get back to the medium. I want to finish that. And, I was playing a game called God's Trigger also, but I think I talked about that last
week. You did. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Still moving along with AC Valhalla. Okay. Guys, I know you got a lot to talk about this week on the Nintendo Direct. So let's go ahead and jump right into the news beat here. First, I want to kind of go through most of what happened at the Nintendo Direct, and then I want you guys to kind of, chime in and talk about what you felt about those particular things that were announced, and then we'll talk about, the things that weren't announced, and if you felt whether or not the show overall was a disappointment or not. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into some of the things that they talked about. So the first thing was Xenoblade Chronicles 2's Pyre is joining Smash Brothers Ultimate. So, and you'll also be able to fight as Mithra too. So that was the first thing that was shown. And then, of course, they moved on to Fall Guys. And this was pretty predictable. Fall Guys coming to Switch this summer, which was a little bit surprising. I thought it would be coming out sooner than that, but coming this summer. And also The Outer Wilds. Please don't mistake that with The Outer Worlds. It's called The Outer Wilds. Outer Wilds is coming to the Switch as well. And
you mean
Samurai
not
Warriors.
The same game?
They are not the same game. And a lot of people make that mistake. They think, or they say The Outer Wilds, but they really mean The Outer Worlds.
I know.
And then, of course, Samurai Warriors 5 is also coming to the Switch as well. two Famicom Detective Club stories are getting localized. For example, the murder mystery visual novel. We'll see The Missing Heir and The Girl Who Stands Behind remade and ported to the Switch. And that's coming on May 14th. Yeah. And then we got some like a new trailer for Monster Hunter Rise. And then after that, Mario Golf. So Mario Golf Super Rush, which will be coming on June 25th. So, yeah, that's the day after my birthday. So, yay. Okay. So, and then some more release dates. Capcom Arcade Stadium, which is now out. Stubbs the Zombie. There you go, Dan.
Hey.
Rebel Without a Pulse on March 16th. Tales from the Borderlands from Telltale, which, of course, doesn't exist anymore. But March 24th, that's coming to the Switch. DC Superhero Girls Teen Power, June 4th. No More Heroes 3 on August 27th. And Knockout City coming actually in May, on the 21st of May. Mm-hmm. And then we got a new anime shooter from the maker of Donut County. It's called Neon White. So they showed some like a little trailer for that. Not much gameplay, just like a kind of a cinematic trailer in a sense. But yeah, then Miitopia is coming to the Switch. And also Animal Crossing New Horizons, Mario and Friends are going to be coming to that as well. So that that was announced. And then we got a new title, which looked really interesting. And actually, the demo went live right after the direct. I think, Burley, you were actually playing some of that demo on your live stream, right?
I was.
Project Triangle, yes. Project Triangle Strategy. So, new tactical RPG from Square Enix that came to the demo has come to the Switch. So, then Star Wars Hunters was announced coming later this year. So it's a multiplayer shooter, and I think we didn't really see much of it. We just saw like the banner title of it, but I'm thinking it's going to be very cartoonish when it does eventually come later this year. World's End Club, a new detective story from the makers of Danganronpa, is out on May 28th, and the Switch is getting the Ninja Gaiden series, a Ninja Gaiden trilogy release. Ninja Gaiden Master Collection collects Ninja Gaiden Sigma 1, Sigma 2, and Razor's Edge. And then they're all out this summer. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, will get DLC this spring. So that was also announced. And then, of course, they talked about Skyward Sword. And it'll be coming to the Switch. Of course, Skyward Sword, Dan, that was out at the end of the life cycle of the Wii.
It was.
So the HD port of The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword will finally give you the option of foregoing motion controls to play the game with a standard controller. So you'll have the option, either motion controls or the controller. It's out on July 16th. And then finally, to end the show, Nintendo announced Splatoon 3. So we saw like a little cinematic trailer of that, and it'll be coming in 2022. And so no release date, just a release window of next year. Okay, and that wraps it up for the Direct. So Burley and Dan, take it away. What was your assessment? What were the things that stood out to you? What were the things that you didn't like about the show? Take it away, man. Dan, why don't you start?
Meh. It was meh. It was all meh. Yeah, that's all I got to say. What I wanted to hear wasn't there, obviously, because it never is. There's never any talk of Metroid. Loads of generic crap being shoveled onto the Switch with exorbitant prices. I was initially really excited about Skyward Sword because I get a chance to play Skyward Sword again, and I saw the price they're charging for it, and I was like, F that. I'm not getting that. It's kind of dawned on me now how like Nintendo are kind of screwing us over now. Like just all these ports. I mean, minimum updates and just £50 now. You know, because I bought Mario World 3D, and don't get me wrong, it's really, really good. But I'm kind of like, I've already got this game. I've literally got this game already on my Wii U. I've already got Skyward Sword on my Wii, and technically on my Wii U as well. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of, I think I might be done with buying games again, rebuying games. But no, I mean, Skyward Sword, I'm glad because people who didn't get to play it now. It's really cool. It is a good game. It's a very good. It's a bit repetitive. It's really weird. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's like a really weird like boss gimmick they keep employing like 3-4 times in a loop, and it gets kind of tedious. But yeah, no, if you haven't played it, that's very cool. So people can play it now.
But yeah, a lot of people are saying that they haven't even finished Breath of the Wild yet. So why even try Skyward Sword? I mean, just continue to play Breath of the Wild, you know, to not pay that exorbitant price, you know.
It is too much, to be honest with you. I'm kind of, I'd cut myself buying many more of these sorts of things because, like someone pointed out the other day, so you can buy the Skyward Sword HD for like £50. And then you can buy like the nunchuck controllers, a new Joy-Cons for another £80 on top of that. Wherein back when it was released on the Wii, you could buy the game with a custom Wii remote for like £50. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just so shady. It's just greed. And like, good on you if you want to buy those Joy-Cons, but Joy-Cons scare the hell out of me because they're so flimsy.
Yeah.
Like,
and of course the
really bad
the drift issues, yeah,
and drift. Mm-hmm. So, oh man, yeah, but yeah, no, I generally was a bit meh by the whole thing. Although No More Heroes 3, that's awesome because I like No More. Yeah, that's what I mean, isn't it? Yeah, I'm excited about that because that's a good series. That's about it, really.
Burley, how about for you? Nintendo Direct, your overall impressions, yeah.
I thought the Direct was a 10 out of 10. We got every... No, I'm kidding. Because I was going to say, like, if I couldn't do it for too long there, because I know Dan would be like, and both you, X-Fat, who have seen the stream I did of it, would be like, your stream sounds... I have to agree. The Direct was kind of meh. I did like the Smash reveal. I have not played Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Yeah, I know it's sad we're getting another sword character. People are like, "That's we don't need that." But at least we're getting two characters in the price of one character. And I think no matter which character you pick, it's not going to have that, oh my god, feel because our last character for Smash was Sephiroth. Mm-hmm. So I know that one kind of had a lot of hype. Yeah. But at least we're not waiting. You're getting the character next month, so I'm at least happy with that. So it'd be nice to try and maybe give me a reason to go back to the Xenoblade series to try and go through those games. Yeah. But they spent way too much time for 50 minutes. They probably spent at least a good 25 minutes to a half hour on just, this is coming to Switch. We're porting this, we're porting this, we're porting this. And yeah, I got it at least. I'm mad with Nintendo on the pricing, but I'm at least happy they're not going the route that Sony and Microsoft are going to be doing of increasing the game prices by $10.
Yeah.
Like,
just imagine if Nintendo did that, man, it'd be like $100 per game.
Oh yeah. Well, like I was miffed. Like some games I could understand. I'm a little more understanding. I don't like it for the price increase, but like the Ratchet and Clank one, I cannot believe that got the $10 increase. They're not long games generally. Mm. And it's like out of everything you're going to start with that. Like, no, but like, yep.
Yeah. And no Pokemon. Too.
Yeah, I was gonna just start keep going through stuff. Yeah, no Pokemon. That's in Nintendo's top three franchises of selling. Yeah. Like I would have thought we would have got at least a 10-second thing saying more Pokemon news will have its separate own direct in 3 months down the line because we have the community day for the 25th anniversary of the series. Mm. I think is in 6 days. So it's like, but this is Nintendo. They'll do something weird and that no one asked for later on in the year. But like the Fall Guys, yeah, that was obvious to coming to Switch. They've now also announced it coming to the Xbox consoles in the I think summer as well.
Yeah,
after the day after the direct, they announced that. But like those Falcom games, detective mystery games, those things are so. I don't know if either of you have checked the eShop, but here in Canada, they're $46.99 a piece before the tax.
Jesus. For an interactive novel.
Yeah, like I could be understanding a $46 for the two of them.
Mm.
I can kind of justify that, but like $46 for one. Because you know you're only going to maybe get, what, like 4 to 5 hours out of it? I can't justify that. It has to be like the greatest 4 to 5 hours ever.
Yeah.
And me wanting more to want to pay that price. Yeah. But like Nintendo did so many weird things. Like that Miitopia thing. I was kind of interested because I did like the game on the 3DS where you had that dungeon game where you got street passes and had your friends and they had the different elements.
Mm.
I don't know if either of you guys tried that.
Oh, yeah. I played the hell out of that when I was living in Japan. I spent a couple of days in Akihabara and just like 100%ed it. It was nuts. But it was a pretty good game. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was in college at the time when the 3DS came out, so we'd have street passes all the time in campus. So we'd just chuck our 3DSs throughout classes and stuff, and it was just nice to do. It was cool, fun. I had a lot of fun on that game. I spent hours.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, the sim stuff part of it, I don't care so much in the Miitopia, but that dungeon stuff. And then you go to the eShop, $64.99. It's
nuts.
No. This could have been a $20 game and Nintendo would sell, I don't know, a couple million copies. It's Nintendo's just doing a weird pricing game of we don't want people to buy our games, but we know there are idiots that will pay these prices.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they know people are going to buy them. That's why they keep the prices as the same as they
used to. I don't know. In this case, not a chance. Other things, yeah, but this, no. I mean, who saw that and went, yes, game of the year. I need that. Like, no one. So it's like, I'm going, right, let's get this fairly niche thing that was free once and we'll charge £50 for it. This is bizarre. Because, like, a new Pokemon, yeah, they can charge whatever the hell they want. But a freaking...
Yeah, the major releases, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like a Mii game. But then who uses Mii's on their bloody... Switch anyway. It's weird. Yeah, this is a bold move.
And then, but like the Stubbs, I've never played Stubbs as a zombie. I've been told I should. Yeah. So I may pick up I'll let other people pick up the remake for me and see how that is. But that was at least fairly priced because I think it was $25.99.
It's a bit much.
If it is, if there's touch up and work, it's not too bad. I can justify that. But a lot of other stuff, I just didn't care. The Skyward Sword remake, I shouldn't say remake, just HD touch, has me interested. I've never played Skyward Sword because I hate motion control. Especially if you're doing combat. But I'm interested to try it. My buddy has told me over and over, like, this is one of the best Zelda stories, and I am a Zelda fan. I couldn't get into Breath of the Wild, but I've been told by my buddy that hates Breath of the Wild but loves Skyward Sword, I need to play this, so I will give it a shot. The Joy-Cons, as cool as they look, I do not want to spend $100 on these Joy-Cons, and then, as you say, the drift, and then the problem is, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel Joy-Cons don't have like the best build quality. I've not broken either sets, but it's like for what I'm paying and what I get, I'm like, can I justify that?
Yeah.
Cause like I use my, mainly for my Switch, I have an 8-bit Duo.
Best controller.
Oh, and it's like Love half the things. Price. It's there half the price of the Joy-Con. You actually have a good D-pad, so when you want to play 2D platformers, you have a good D-pad to use.
Anything 2D, yeah. It's flawless.
Oh, like I use it for Mario Maker and stuff like that. Mm. And other platformers on there, and it's like, yeah. But like, I agree with you, Dan, on the trend of we're just going to sell ports on here and charge you, and you're like, why am I going to keep buying? Like, I have 3D World. I spent a lot of time on the Wii U version. I'm like, for what they're going to put, the small amount of extras they're going to put for the Switch port, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, I can't justify the cost.
And it would be okay, but like, Nintendo never dropped their prices. So it will forever be £50 to play bloody a 10-year-old Zelda game. You know, it's just if they bundled it, say if Wind Waker and Skyward Sword, I'd be like, yeah, okay, all right, I'll pay £50 for that. But it's like Skyward Sword, man. It's like it's not a £50 on its own experience. At least I don't think. It just seems, it's just nuts. It's just nuts.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I was saying I don't think we're going to get Skyward Sword. I thought for Zelda representation, they're going to announce a Zelda collection. And I know everyone wants Ocarina, Majora's Mask, and all these other games. I figured because what we saw with the Mario collection and how that was handled, and Nintendo put 5 minutes worth of work into that, we're just going to get a port of Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD for the £50, £79 here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it because it's like I already own those on the Wii U. It's like I don't want to spend that money to just to have them again. Yeah. It's like, no. But they didn't do that, so I am surprised, but I'm sure that's their okay, later in the year we need something. We can throw this out very quickly and cheaply and sell to 75% of the Zelda audience.
Dan, I have a question for you. Now, of course, this was the first direct of the year. I mean, we could have more.
We definitely will be during
the year. So, sure. I mean, why do you think they're not saying anything right now about Metroid?
There's nothing to. I mean,
do you think it's still really early in development? Do you think there really are some problems, or what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there aren't any problems. Well, there were problems, which is why they shit canned the whole thing and went from scratch, which is really weird and good. Good on them, because they could have gone, now we're not going to bother. But you know, they've kind of gone back and they've recruited like the retro studios to get involved and get up to speed. So I just think it's just too early to say anything. Like, what's the point? What is surprising they didn't mention is they didn't mention the Prime Trilogy, which we know is finished and ready to go, which is weird.
Do we actually know that that's confirmed?
I
haven't heard anything in a long time on this Prime Trilogy.
It was so. Like when people were, there was early rumblings of having like an insider was like, oh, there's a collection of Mario 3D games coming out, and there's going to be a collection of the Prime Trilogy being ported to Switch.
Okay.
And, you know, these people, obviously they were right, because the 3D collection did come out shortly afterwards. So I believe it has, from inside Nintendo, people have gone, oh yeah, it's ready to rock for ages ago. But again, there's no reason why it wouldn't be, because if you can port Galaxy over to the Switch, which is a Wii game, you can easily port the Prime Trilogy, which is also a Wii game, and a Wii U game for that matter. So it wouldn't take an alarming amount of work to do. I personally am absolutely convinced it's sitting on a server somewhere just waiting for them to go, let's release it. Metroid 4, I don't think it is in trouble. It was, but it's being, you know, dealt with now. Okay. I have to see. I think, there's nothing to say about it at this stage.
Bleh. One more question for you guys. So we didn't get any other information about Breath of the Wild 2. They had the guy saying that we're going to give you more information later at a later date. But so do you think Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be released with the Switch Pro? And they're just not saying anything about it right now.
Yes. I think at this point they realize what we don't need to say too much on this. And I think Nintendo is just, they know the Switch, the normal Switch, is still selling like hotcakes. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we don't need to put out a pro market, because as soon as we put another console out, then we're half going here and there, and they're realizing with the supply chain issues on chips, mm-hmm. it's how hard it's affecting the Xbox and the PlayStation. They're like, why hurt ourselves? Because they can just save Breath of the Wild 2 to when we got their next hardware plan, launch with that, then you launch with something so sturdy, and that will sell a bunch of units. But actually, I just wanted to mention one thing that I was kind of shocked with the Direct. Okay. That the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors, the Age of Calamity, they spent literally 3 seconds on the DLC.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. It was like, here you go. Here's the dates. If you blink, you miss what dates stuff are coming out. Yeah. I was like, I would have thought they would spend 2 minutes on that. I was like, wow, you guys spent nothing on that. You spent all this time on this EA dodgeball game.
Yeah. Mm.
Meh.
Yeah, they that Project Triangle strategy game, though, they did spend a lot of time on that one.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a new game from Square, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Octopath, I think, did well on the Switch.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it. It's a great game. I spent like 40 something hours into it. It just
looks very similar to that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the art style, and I like that art style. Yeah. But I have gripe with the demo for that game. If you download it, like, I don't know if anyone here's played like Fire Emblem, some of the Fire Emblem games, or like Final Fantasy Tactics games. But one of the things they will tell you, they'll tell you your move's going to do 30 damage, but you go to then use it on the enemy and they're only taking like 10 to 15. Mm. So like, I can't strategize my thing, my turn so well. But I do like it that I can do my attack or motion and then move afterwards. Yeah. Okay. But we'll see. I doubt if the game is going to be super, super hard like that. I don't know if I'm going to want to spend full price and want to break my Switch every time I play the game.
Okay, final question for you guys. Was this Direct a disappointment?
Yeah, easy.
Burly?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But it's a disappointment because we haven't had a full Direct in a year and a half. And what did they spend most of their time on? We're just going to port. We're just going to port. All these games are just coming as ports to the Switch. They didn't show me, as a guy that has had the Switch since day one, mm-hmm. they didn't show me nothing of like, oh my God, I'm glad I have a Switch because I've got this, and that. And it's like, well, this was on this console. This is already on the PS4 and all this and that. It's like, I can get 90% of these games that are getting ported cheaper on my PlayStation or Steam right now than paying Nintendo's greedy price.
Mm-hmm.
New price. It's like, and that Direct for ending on a teaser for Splatoon 3 of a game that's not coming out this year. I know Dan, both you and Dan have put this point.
Yeah.
You're showing us something that's not going to come out for a year.
Yeah.
Like, you could have spent 2 seconds putting up a thing saying Splatoon 3 is in the works. Expect more info in this year. It's not coming till 2022, or don't tell us it's not coming till 2022, but just say Splatoon 3 info later in this year. Yeah. They're doing that to hype us for a year. Plus with the whole factor of COVID, we could wait till 2023.
Yeah.
So it's,
and especially
like,
out here in Japan, the elementary school kids gotta hype them up for a year, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be the majority of the people buying it. So,
Oh yeah.
Here in Japan, at least. Yeah.
that was for kids, but I felt that was the wrong game to end a Direct with.
Oh yeah.
I think you should end with something that's going to come. You could have love it or hate it, you could have ended with Skyward Sword. I think that would have been a stronger ending because you've got something you know that's going to come out in the year.
Just one last little thought. It just further reminded me of just how the Switch is just a port machine. There's so little original material on it, original games on it. I think during the stream I mentioned it. It's like it's the new Vita. Do you remember, like, the PS Vita had loads of Steam indie games just ported to it. The Vita. Our online store is 90% from stuff from Steam indie games, and it's just structures. That's what's happened to the Switch now. It's just become the Vita Mark II. It's just games like Burley said, games you can buy that run better, that look better, and cost a fifth of the price on other systems. Like I'd heard of Outer Worlds, but I hadn't looked into Outer Worlds, and then this advert comes out, and I watch it on the thing. I'm like, that's actually quite interesting. So I instantly go, okay, oh, it's on the PS4. Brilliant. Because I know that on the Switch, it's going to be like £30. But I know on the PS4, it'll be about 15. Or, you know, in a sale, probably about £8 or £9.
And on Xbox, it's on Game Pass.
Or free on Xbox. I mean, this is it. So it's at that point where if you have more than one system, like, why would you bother? Like, famously, I don't know why, but for some reason, I decided to get Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is a really good game. I got it on the Switch, which is a really crap version. It's the worst way to play the game.
Same.
So the harsh lesson there for me has been since then, if it's on multiple machines, F the Switch, forget about it. It's just not worth it. It isn't worth it. And like you know, all these other games that are finally coming to Switch at 10 times the price they should be. It's just, yeah.
If you've got games like games like Doom and like Resident Evil, things like that, forget about it.
Bloody Resident Evil! Like, Resident Evil 4 is like £25. It's like, what the F? That game's ancient. It's like 20 years old. No one's going to pay that.
But still,
you are mental. Sorry,
it's still less glitches than games that come out these years. You're getting more bang for your buck for paying the $20 for Resident Evil 4 than you are some of these AAA games, in my opinion. But like the Switch, I very rarely pick up non-Nintendo stuff. If I'm picking up ports, it's usually of RPGs, just so I have the portability. So that way, when I was commuting to work, I could do a little grinding on the bus to and from work. But like, yeah, I bought Bloodstained, and I realized that mistake because I bought it because at one point Amazon had it half the price on the Switch compared to the PlayStation and Xbox. And I was like, okay, it's half the price. Let's try it on the Switch. And my God, you have to have patches or that even with the patches. Even with the patches, that game still runs not
like
that
a dog. Great. It looks hideous. It's really, really, really. It was a stretch goal, wasn't it, on the Kickstarter, I believe? And like they made the limit, and they were like, "Oh, we got to make this game now."
And pretty much. And from what I've heard and seen, apparently the mobile port runs better than the Switch.
Yeah.
It's like if I could play that game on my phone or a tablet better than my Switch, that's saying something, and that's not good for Switch.
But the game came out years ago, and like, there was a patch released not that long ago for it. Like, it's still being repaired. It's nuts, man. But yeah, unless there's something inherently, but then it's weird because I don't play my thing on the go. I never play my Switch on the go. So I don't know why I would ever buy a game on the Switch over the other platforms, because it's not like I'll play it on the bus, because I never take my Switch out the dock. So yeah, it's like direct, I saw Stubbs the Zombie, which is great because it's a game I played back in 2006. It was awesome. And it's like, oh, great, I'll get it on the Switch because I saw it on the Nintendo Direct, and I go to the shop and it's like, but actually, I've got to say, it's actually quite cheap. It's like £15, which isn't that bad. But I know that on the PS, it'll be $9.99. And so, yeah, simple.
Well, I'm just waiting on that game for you to pick it up and say it's good, because after hearing you for 13, it's like,
oh, God, yeah.
I can still... I don't think they'll screw this game port up, but you can't rule anything out nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. Bah. We can hope.
Well, speaking of disappointments, we're going to move on now to, of course, BlizzCon. They had their opening ceremony today, and they had some announcements, but boy, oh boy, was it pretty boring. rambling on. I'm just going to talk about what they did talk about. The Blizzard Arcade Collection. I think this was the best part.
It really was.
The 1 hour that I basically sat through this and listened to a person on stage just ramble on. The Blizzard Arcade Collection, Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn is going to be, of course, ported to modern platforms, PC, Xbox One, PS4, and the Nintendo Switch. It includes some handy features like save states and virtual museum. So, and it's out now, actually. So, yeah, what do you guys think of this? I thought this was the best part of the presentation.
Yeah, agreed. They're three good games. They're three really good games. Blackthorn's awesome. Blackthorn is like a kind of like a heavy metal version of Flashback. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. The rest of the event was a dirge. But yeah, this is good. I'll be getting this. Meh. Yeah.
Burley.
The collection looks neat. I'm willing to try it out. I'm going to wait till one of those end of year sales and pick it up cheaper. Mm. But if you go to buy the game right now on Blizzard's website, there's three different versions. The Essentials Pack, which gives you the game for $26.99 Canadian.
Yeah.
Dan, you're really going to love it now. The Heroic for $54, where you get a bunch of loot boxes and shit for other games, as well as that StarCraft 2 icon that I know you've been dying for. And then there's the Epic Pack, which gives you more loot boxes and a bunch of crap no one's going to care about in 30 days of World of Warcraft. It's like, and guess what it defaults to when you go to that page to buy straight? The Epic Pack. Super,
yeah, but
it's like
brilliant.
They just can't help it.
No,
it's like I haven't bought a game from Blizzard since Diablo 3, the original Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. It's like they're still so far, their heads are so far up their ass on we want to give you these loot boxes and all this other crap, and it's like you could. Why does there need to be three different editions? You're cannibalizing your sales, because now I'm like, I'd be more willing to. Now I have to really watch your frickin' page if I want to go buy this, and now I'm looking at myself. I got to go through all this hassle just to buy the collection, make sure I pick the lowest one. I might as well wait till some sale later in the year. Get this, because I know this is coming to other consoles and stuff. Get this on a flash sale, get this cheap.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to worry about the three different editions and I'm buying just the basic, just to get the games. They made something that could be really, really easy because they have their corporate greed. Made it harder and I'll just wait, because I had a buddy let me know of this and I was like, I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah, I would have probably bought it right now, but I've decided I'll just sit and wait.
But I'm on the page now, and this is baffling. Like, what? Like, why any of this? Like, why would I, if I'm buying three games from, like, you know, 30 years ago, why would I give a shit about getting five Overwatch loot boxes? Like, you've misinterpreted your audience here, my friends. You haven't quite worked out why retro players play these things. Your average Overwatch player isn't going to give two hot shits about playing Vikings. There's no crossover. The Venn diagram for that, I don't know. That there's no such thing. This is bonkers. Wow, Activision Blizzard are shit, aren't they?
Oh yeah,
like they are shit.
Well, they
were. Honestly, if it wasn't for World of Warcraft, they wouldn't be around. They wouldn't exist.
Yes and no. But the whole thing is they want to keep you in the damn ecosystem. Because they want to know, be like, well, I spent for this Epic Collection, I get 30 days of WoW.
Yeah.
I'll sign into WoW. Guaranteed when you do the 30-day trial of WoW, they're going to want you to make you, you have to give us your credit card in case already. Yeah. So that way you're going to be like, the 30 days have lapsed, you forgot. So we're going to charge you the next month. And they're like, you're going to be like, it's like those old gym memberships. You're like, it's too much of a hassle to keep to cancel. I'm just going to pay them the $10 or whatever it costs a month.
Mm.
So let me go ahead and move on here and talk about what they announced. But I mean, like I was saying, it was just trailer, you know, these cinematics after cinematic. They didn't really show any gameplay. The only gameplay of Diablo 4 we got was like 20 seconds of the hunter, or what was it, the rogue class that's actually coming back. The rogue class was in the original Diablo game. Now it's coming back. There's going to be like 5 classes in Diablo 4. But basically, it was mostly a cinematic trailer. And then after that, we saw, of course, Diablo 2 Resurrected. So an HD remaster of the nearly two decades old game. So it's coming out this year for both PC and console, with versions for the Switch, PS4, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S, and will include cross progression between console and PC. So they did show a little bit of the kind of the enhancements, and they look pretty cool. So it kind of reminded me of Diablo 3 in a sense, of what Diablo 3 looks like with enhancements. World of Warcraft, of course, Burning Crusade Classic. So that's also coming. A new chapter for the Shadowlands expansion is on the way, called Chains of Domination. That's pretty much it. They didn't even show anything about Overwatch. I was basically after the opening ceremony show when we got some information about Overwatch. So there's going to be like 2 new maps, Rome and New York, weather effects, sandstorms, snow, redesigned looks for Widowmaker, Reaper, McCree, and Pharaoh. So yeah, I mean, that was after the opening ceremony, but that's about it. I mean, just people standing on stage and saying, oh, COVID-19 has really affected all of us, you know, but we gamers, we're together, blah blah blah, and just showing a bunch of
boxes.
Exactly. And just cinematic trailer after cinematic trailer of no gameplay.
You got to be thinking, though, like, after their, I mean, the last few BlizzCons have been nightmares for them. I bet they're bloody loving not having a live audience. I mean, I noticed it. They had a bit more swagger when they were out talking about their really unimpressive games. Because they were like, brilliant, because no one's going to shout at us from the stacks. This is awesome. And it's like, there's a couple of things that I saw on that stream that they would have been torn to shit for in, like, real life. Yeah. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, so that's my 10 cents on the BlizzCon event. It was pretty disappointing. Over an hour of just sitting there and waiting for some gameplay that never really materialized, except for maybe 20 seconds of Diablo 4.
I don't get the whole bullshit CG thing. I don't know what it's helping. If you've got nothing to show, don't go... Because no one looks at it and goes, oh, brilliant, that's what the game's going to be like. Everyone knows that everyone now, at this point, everyone goes, oh, look, more CG.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares anymore. No one goes, ooh, because, like, you know, like, back in the day, like, ooh, that looks good. But, like, no, it's 2021. We've had this for, like, 10 years now. We're aware of bullshit CG.
That most are. There are still a few people that still get suckered in by the CG and thing.
You reckon?
That's the game. I know people. That's all I'll say. But yeah, it's nice to see the Diablo 2 remaster. We all knew that was coming because they need a hit, and that they took my only thing that. Yeah, it's nice to see that, but it gives me a little more confidence that they've got Vicarious Vision, who's done the last couple of remasters for the Crash and Spyro games. They've done well on those, working on it. But you've taken them away for other projects to save Diablo.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't, even with them, I don't have a lot of confidence, because I don't know if any of you guys, I never played it, but I watched videos on it, the Warcraft 3 remaster they did like a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that, how broken that was.
Mm.
It's like, Diablo 2, they're banking. They need that to be a hit, and they're hoping for that to be a hit. Like, I'm glad I'm going to get the game. Like, if you buy the game, you're getting that game and the sequel expansion, Lords of Destruction. They're not going to go the, hey, 6 months from now, you got to spend another $40 to get the other two characters in the extra act for the game.
Yeah.
But I think they're promising way too much with that, because they're saying, like, oh, you can, with, like they did with the Halo remaster, you go with a press of a button or a keystroke. You can, oh, yeah, you can change between the old and new. I'm like, I can see that maybe working on the PC,
mm-hmm,
on PS4, PS5, and the Xbox consoles. The Switch, you're going to be out of your mind if you think that's going to work well on the Switch. Because I can foresee the problems. And like, if I'm, who cares about progression between the console and the,
yeah, that's weird,
the PC. I if I'm going to buy this, I'm buying this for one platform. I'm not going to double dip, because...
But for all, just in case.
Yeah, no. Because, you know, on consoles, this will go down a little bit on sale.
Mm.
And it's going to be forever before you get it at that price point where you're like, ah, I'll spend $20. Mm. And pick it up. But it's like, I hope this goes well, but I can see this having more problems, and just because this is Blizzard Activision, and I'm sure Vicarious Visions has probably being like, you've got to get this, like, you've got 5 more months to get this out, because they said this is out this year, and I expect this to be a buggy mess, especially if you're doing the online with your friends with battle.net, and it's like, I cannot see this going well.
It's weird that they went with 2. I would have thought they would have, I mean, 2 is the better game, and you know, but it just seems weird to leap in with 2 if you're trying to, like, maybe get new people in. Like, what's the story of 1? What happened in 1? How is that relevant to 2? I don't know.
No one cares about Diablo 1. That's a thing.
Yeah.
I know people that are hardcore in Diablo. Mm. They got me in through 2, and I loved playing 2 back in the day.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, you don't need to know the story of 1. I've tried 1. I can't. There's stuff with 1 I can't get into.
Mm.
Yeah.
But they know remaking 1's not going to be the profitable and get a bunch of sales. So you might as well go leap to Diablo 2, because it'll get a lot of hype news, and you'll have idiots buy it day one without waiting.
Yeah. Well, one last thing about the opening ceremony that I really enjoyed was the Metallica stint at the end there. That was pretty cool. Getting to see Metallica play again. that was awesome.
Oh, they had
okay, Metallica. So,
I did not see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Metallica came on and played a few riffs and stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to our topic of the show here. So we spent a lot of time on the Nintendo Direct and that. But publishers and patents and stifling of iteration and innovation. So basically, Warner Brothers Games has been granted the patent for the Nemesis engine. So the Nemesis engine was created by Monolith back in 2014 for Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. And of course, it was brought back for Shadow of War as well. Warner Brothers Games has been trying to get this patent for the Nemesis engine since 2016, And so they've finally been successful of getting the patent. But now it looks like this could be have a negative effect on the gaming industry, especially for smaller developers, mid-range developers that want to take portions of the Nemesis engine and innovate and to make it even better. Because with this patent now, it gives gives Warner Brothers Games legal action for suing a developer for trying to use the engine now. But I don't know. What do you guys think of this? It doesn't seem like it's going to be a good thing for smaller developers that might want to try to innovate or to iterate off of this engine. What do you guys think of Warner Brothers getting the patent on this?
Burley, you're up.
Okay.
Burley, go ahead, man. Okay, you can start on this one, dude.
I'll try and make this quick because I know I've been long on the other two sections.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, this is a typical Warner Brothers move. They will just buy and get what they can. This is going to hurt the industry because now you've got developers, indies and smaller developers be like, I could make this cool system in the game, but the problem is I can make it good and great or improve on other people's systems. The problem is the company that has the bigger money can buy the patent and they'll win the patent suit and get the patent. So why would I try and do this? Because Warner Brothers has now shown they're willing to buy patents. Do you think now soon EA and Blizzard, Activision, they're all going to start getting in on this?
Yeah. That is basically what a lot of people now are worried about, that this could have a ripple effect throughout the industry. And you see bigger publishers like EA or, like Activision, scooping up patents so that other smaller developers cannot use any of the engine to innovate. Some other examples, recently a Bloober team who made the Medium, they're actually trying to get a patent for that split screen, dual reality system that they have going on as well. But they're more of a smaller mid-range developer. And so they would probably be more open to sharing their engine with others. But I don't know. Dan, what do you think about this, man?
It's bullshit, and there's no way it's enforceable. So everyone make all the Nemesis things you want. The Nemesis system isn't new or original. Mm-hmm. They've stolen... this is the ironic thing about this, is that Warner Brothers have stolen half a dozen of features from other games, combined them and gone, this is ours. This is new now. Like, none of the things they have in that game are new. Not a single bloody one. And yet they've got...
Monolith created it, yeah.
Yeah,
The Nemesis engine, yeah. So they're the developers, not the publisher, but yeah, anyway.
But that doesn't matter. But the point is, they've taken all these ideas that already exist in all these other games and gone, this is ours now and you can't have it. One of the things a lot of people are saying is that a patent and copyright aren't the same thing. And there's a good chance that if someone did make a game with a similar Nemesis system, that Warner Brothers could go, right, we're going to take it to court, and then it would get thrown out.
Because it's not a copyright.
Yeah, because it doesn't hold up. And I'm amazed they got it, because I don't know why anyone didn't go, well, hang on a minute, the idea of having, enemies follow you throughout the game and level up and progress with you, or have like a social net, that's not new. These aren't new things. Yeah. It's absolutely shocking.
And why do you think they gave it to him? I don't know.
They don't know any better.
Like 3-4 years in the making, yeah.
They don't know any better. Like, again, it's the same reason why, like, friggin' you should be terrified that Congress gets involved in video games, any sort of discussion about video games. When you've got 65-year-old white men who know fuck all about anything, like, oh, well, we got to get involved in this because we know better. You've got to be mortified. It's the same thing with the Patent Office. No, this is mental. I think, and like the people who made the Medium, fuck off, your idea isn't new or original either. Like, this is the bizarre, like, we're in, 6th decade of video games now. Yeah. And like people are like, this is new. I'm claiming this. not a chance. There is nothing new. None of this is new. It's like, oh, we own the dual reality system. No, you don't. That's been around for fucking... Like, fucking Soul Reaver on the bloody PlayStation 1 had that, a similar mechanic. What are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, patents need to piss off and die. There are no original ideas anymore. And the fact that people are going, oh, this is ours now. It's like, no, it isn't. Shut the fuck up. So, yeah, this is complete. It's a non-story. Try it. Everyone out there, all you devs, go and make a system where you get a random enemy throughout the game. They suddenly become your number one foe and they'll follow you around and blah, 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 blah. And see what happens. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel too. I mean, they're going to challenge a lot of developers are going to challenge this. They'll say, take us to court. We don't care. You know,
I find things like patents and copyright. I understand them, but they're so open to abuse like this. I mean, but then again, like, it's just bonkers. Like, well, what are they worried about? Like, 500 people are going to make another Lord of the Rings game with the same mechanics. Like, the game exists. It's been out. It's been done. What, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just seems so strange. It's like Microsoft going, or like Bungie, or what the hell are they called? 343 Industries going, okay, we're going to patent the game where you can only carry two guns at a time. You know what I mean? It's like, well, how the friggin' hell is that? You didn't come up with that. What? Ugh, pisses me off. I hate tedious shit. When you run out of ideas, then just start patenting things. That's the way to do it.
Like, well, Dan was just going off on his little rant there. I've patented the level up system in games.
Yeah, seriously. It's more fun because people... No, but you joke, but people have tried shit like that. People their arm and gone, oh, well, like, well, are we going to patent that? It's like, wait, what? Like, people trying... Like Nintendo, the dodgy thing with the D-pad. I think that's actually expired now, hasn't it?
Expired a while ago.
Yeah, you can't have a D-pad anymore.
The thing, I didn't know the Medium developer had tried doing their patent. It's like, come on. Yeah. You think you doing that is going to be helpful for you? Yeah. It now has me, I was curious to try the Medium. Mm-hmm. It now has me going, well, now I know this developer's kind of shady and shitty. Because if they're willing to do that and that's out in the open, what do you think the next things they're doing that they're not telling us?
Yeah. It just seems so weird. I mean, the audacity, the absolute shameful audacity of this, or any patent based, trying to introduce a patent now is like BioWare tried to patent the dialogue wheel.
And it's like, yeah, well, in the Mass Effect games,
that's literally about 50 years old. What are you doing? How the f- yeah. Brilliant.
No, that's it's right, fresh, right now. It's fresh and original.
Yeah, it is. I'm patenting space games. Any game set in space is now my bloody patent, and you've got to pay me.
On the flip side, like, for example, the Souls games, I mean, you know, they've been pretty open to let other developers innovate. For example, like Salt and Sanctuary, that game was... you know, based on the engines of the Souls games, things like that. So, you know, there are examples where, hey, you know, go for it, you know, use our engine, and innovate it and make it better if you can. But, it's these big developers, man. Freaking...
There's no way. And as with most patents, it's really broad and open to interpretation. Like, you know, it's essentially like, is there an enemy in the game that can level up? Oh, yeah, that counts. That counts as a infringement on our patent. It's like, what the f-
Yeah.
No, not a chance.
It's going to be a new selling feature with games.
Yeah.
This game has 10 different patents behind it that we bought and screwed other people out of.
I didn't play the game. Is it an impressive system? Is it a game changer? Is it, you know, are they worried that people are going to make billions off this really generic idea that's been around since the 80s? I don't know.
It was a good game, and it was a good system. It wasn't, like, I'll agree, it's not revolution. Some people call it revolutionary. It's just taking old ideas, reworking them into a system that kind of feels fresh. And I did like the system, the Nemesis system. I only played the first Shadow game. But,
you know, are elements of the Nemesis system going to be in Arkham Knights?
That's Warner Brothers, so it doesn't really matter. They're safe.
I'm sure Warner Brothers will use it as a selling feature.
Yeah,
and that Suicide Squad kills the Justice League or whatever. Mm.
You can bet everything that the next Arkham game, you know, besides Arkham Knights and of course the Suicide Squad or whatever, it's going to have elements of the Nemesis system in it, probably. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that was our topic of the show. So we're going to go ahead and move on here now. And Dan, it's time for your retro topic of the week. Yeah. So every week, Dan has a topic based on the world of retro gaming. So Dan, take it away, man.
No, just a quick one this week about how, the release of Stubbs the Zombie and why it's a very, very cool thing. We kind of talked about it a bit throughout the episode, but this is cool, actually, because it's actually quite a fun little game. So back in 2005, it came out in the US, and 2006, early 2006, came out in the UK and Europe. Xbox original game, made on the Halo engine, which is weird, by a developer called Wideload. Rumor is, the story is that they started making it. They had friends who worked at Bungie. They're having trouble, and Bungie went, "Oh, hey, here you go. You can have the Halo engine to make your game," which is weird.
Did they get a patent?
Did they get a patent for it? They got a patent for third-person zombie adventures. If you try and pull any of that shit, they'll have you. Even though they're now defunct, they've gone out of business, actually. Based on using the Halo engine, they made this third-person adventure game, very strong narrative-driven game. And it's very cool. So taking a sort of similar in its theme to Destroy All Humans, and in fact, it's set in like a fictionalized 50s. Well, actually, no. Destroy All Humans is a very accurate 50s, whereas in this game, it's like a futuristic 50s. It's kind of like what they imagined the 50s to be back in like the 20s. So there's like hover cars and like, you know, giant electronic towers and stuff. Yeah. And so you played a guy called Stubbs. You were killed and unceremoniously you were murdered, actually. And they kind of built this city above where you were buried. And one day you are reanimated and you've got to go off and find out who, the whys, the whens, and the hows and get your zombie-based revenge. It's very cool. I actually tried to play it today, but I can't find my copy. But there are cool mechanics, like you can detach body parts to do cool stuff, like have a little, your arm go off in a little mission to do like stealth sections for you. You can bite people. That's the whole point of the game, is to eat brains. So as you go through the game, you eat people's brains and they join your cause and blah, blah. I mean, you sort of listen in the trailer for it.
But, there you go. They should definitely patent that.
Yeah, if you eat brains, brain eating in games is copyright of da 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 da.
Sorry, I actually already patented that just as you guys were talking.
Oh, god damn it.
I own the level up system. Just keep naming these ideas. I've got the patent website open and I'm just typing away.
Didn't someone actually try to patent like electronic games? Like, why are they using a TV? It's like, we own
that. It's brilliant. Oh, there's so many patent trolls. Like you can, you can Google. I think it's like Adam Ruins Everything, and
right.
John Oliver had talked about it. You can look up a bunch of stuff about patent trolls, and it. If you need a reason to hate people, you watch those.
Yeah, I remember a while ago, like someone after the Wii had come out, like someone tried to patent like gesture based games, and like Nintendo had to like really fight to get that knocked out, because like, well, you don't anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Stubbs is very cool. It's hard. There's weird difficulty spikes. Some of the bosses are really, really, really unfair, I remember from back in the day. But this is very cool. And something I'm looking forward to, certainly playing on the I'll be playing on the PS4 probably, because it'll be a bit cheaper. But yeah, Stubbs the Zombie, man. Get involved. Yeah, if you like that campy faux sci-fi, if you're a fan of Destroy All Humans, basically, if you like Destroy All Humans, get involved in Stubbs, because it's a similar vein.
Cool.
So how many easy to win packages are going to be in the new version? Loot boxes.
for an extra $10, you get infinite brains. I don't know.
Okay, Dan, thanks a lot, man. So that was the retro topic of the week. So now it's on to our new game releases for the week of February 22nd through the 28th via Metacritic. So we have four games on the list this week. So four games. First game is called Curse of the Dead Gods. Have you heard of this title? Curse of the Dead Gods.
No.
It's an action roguelike. Yes. So you seek untold riches, eternal life, divine powers. It leads to this accursed temple, a seemingly infinite labyrinth of bottomless pits, deadly traps, and monsters. So, role-playing action RPG. So, comes out on the 23rd. So, yeah, I'm surprised you guys haven't heard of it. Burley, have you heard of this one?
I have not, no.
Curse of the Dead Gods.
But yeah. that's the thing. There's so many games and so many different platforms getting released.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track because I've had people be like, how have you not heard of this? And it's like, it was advertised here, here, and there. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. So it comes out on February 23rd next week for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and the Switch. So
it looks like another, you know, loot dungeon crawler thing. It looks a bit Diablo-y to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Diablo clone, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, steady.
Yep. Okay, next up on the list, Persona 5 Strikers comes out in the US on February 23rd next week for PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. So, did you guys play Persona 5?
Not yet. I did keep
I played it on the PS4, but
I played the first hour on PS4, and then life has gotten away from me from playing it.
Yeah.
So, but I intend to check out Persona 5 Strikers. Like, I've got a bunch of friends that are all looking into this and being the action combat style instead of your turn-based. So this looks interesting to me.
Yeah. So the sequel to the international smash hit Persona 5, 3.2 million copies worldwide so far, is now available as the series' first action RPG, featuring an all-new story set up half a year after the events of Persona 5. Travel Japan. Following the events of Persona 5, the Phantom Thieves of Hearts gather once more during their summer break to solve the mystery behind new change of heart cases that are occurring all over Japan. Persona 5 is now an action RPG. The new action battle system makes hitting enemy weak points to activate a one more or all-out attack, which fans have come to love even easier. So it comes out on, the 19th. And in the U.S. comes out on the 23rd. Yeah. Next up on the list, Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection comes out on February 25th for the Nintendo Switch, exclusive to the Switch. Yeah.
Is it?
So Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection is a reboot that brings the beloved Capcom franchise back to life. And into the 21st century, paying homage to Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts. Latest entry combines the franchise's action platforming gameplay with storybook-like graphics. Yeah, so action platformer 2D. So, Dan, you've played this one, right?
I have. Yeah. This is the. So the one everyone remembers is Ghouls and Ghosts. That's the one everyone remembers. And like Ghouls and Goblins, like the precursor. That's like their practice run. And then they tweaked it and perfected it and re-released it as Ghouls and Ghosts. So, yeah, this will be frigging hard. So if you're going to buy it, expect an unbelievably stiff challenge. Yeah.
Burley, do you second that?
Yeah. It'll be tough. I know it's going to be. I said the advertised, because I haven't checked it out fully, but the marketing should be on there before you buy. This is going to be hard. FYI, you may break a set of controllers.
Yeah.
And finally on the list today, Bravely Default 2 comes out on February 26th and exclusive to the Nintendo Switch as well. Step into a brand new world with four brand new heroes, a new world, a new story, and all new Heroes of Light await in an original RPG experience arriving on the Nintendo Switch system in 2020, so last year it came out. This successor to the original Bravely Default game comes from the team that brought you the Bravely series and Octopath Traveler, and features music from Revo, Sound Horizon, and Linked Horizon, acclaimed composer of the Bravely Default soundtrack. So yeah, role-playing Japanese style. No online multiplayer, but yeah, exclusive for the Switch. So you guys played Bravely Default?
I did.
Or Bravely Default 2, yeah?
Played the very first one on 3DS, yeah, back in the day. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, all right.
Burley, how about you? Did you play it?
Yeah, I played the original, loved it, beat that game, had a lot of fun. The second game, I have not finished. I'm close to the end. It wasn't bad. They just, half the characters you get in the party, I just didn't care for. And some of the story beats of, it's kind of retreading the first game, but different a little. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I tried the demo for Bravely Default 2. Mm-hmm. And that was freaking hard because they just throw you in and it's like, oh yeah, I got to remember how the job system in this kind of goes and with what abilities you're given at that point. Cause they put you in a random point in the game. That's like, I don't know, like probably 6 to 12 hours in.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, I want to pick up Bravely Default 2, but I'm at this point of, if it's good, I have no problem spending the money, but I just want other people to play, test for me, and find out, is this more like the first game or more like the sequel? Because if it's more like the first game where it's a good story and it flows well, I got no problem picking it up. If it's more like the sequel, yeah, maybe I'll wait till it's like $20 and more games are off my backlog before I commit to another giant RPG.
Seems fair. Okay, so we have Curse of the Dead Gods coming out on the 23rd. Persona 5 Strikers came out on the 19th, you know, but out in the US on the 23rd. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection on the 25th. Bravely Default 2 on the 26th. My pick would, I would probably, Ghosts and Goblins, I'd probably break a controller, like you guys are saying. So, I probably want to stay away from that one. I think Persona 5 Strikers, maybe get back into Persona a little bit. You know, cause I never finished Persona 5. I played it for maybe about 35-40 hours and then just got distracted by other games, but maybe Persona 5 Strikers. Yeah. Curse of the Dead Gods, you know, like you were saying, Dan, it looks like a very Diablo in its style. I would go with Persona 5 Strikers. What about you guys? Dan, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah. Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah, the Resurrection. Yeah, looks good. Yeah, I'll be getting that. Switch only, didn't Burley. Know that.
Oh, Burley, how about you? What's your pick?
My pick would be Persona 5. I like you. I don't want to break a controller. I've sucked at those games. I know I can't do them, so it's like, I'm not going to spend the price I want on that and break a controller. No, thank you. I'd rather have Persona where I can just have fun attacking things.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love those type of games. It's just at the point in my life now, I would probably stress myself out so much trying to defeat a boss and get so close to defeating the boss and then lose. And like have a heart attack or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just at that point in my life now where I just, I don't need that, man. I don't need that. I mean, I love those types of games, but it's just, I can't do them, man. Like you were talking about, Dan, with like, what was it? Sekiro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough game, man. You know, and what you were saying, it's like tougher than Bloodborne, right? In a sense.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. It certainly is tough. Bloody hell. So, Ghosts and Goblins is £25. £25 for a bloody ancient Capcom game. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. So I won't be
I'm
getting
it. They priced it that low. I expected 35. Oh my god. This
but that's got $9.99. Well, even then, it's still not worth it. It's not worth that much money. You know, you can play it for free online right now. Okay, never mind.
All right. Okay, so before we conclude the episode, I want to let everyone know where you can find me on social media. You can find my website for gaming content at expat2020.live and all my other social media links to Twitter, Instagram, my Discord server, the podcast website, as well as my YouTube channels at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/expat2020. So at Linktree, I'm also a live streamer and a Twitch affiliate, and you can catch my live streams on twitch.tv/expat2020 as I do gaming live streams and a supplement to the podcast Monday through Friday called The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news weekday live stream on Twitch from 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 2 p.m. GMT out in the UK. That does it for me. Dan, how about you? Where can people find you, and what's going on this week for you? What are you going to be streaming if you're going to stream anything?
So you can find me on Twitch at Press Start to Game. That's all one word. That's my thing. And that's also on YouTube as well. I stream about once a week, maybe, if I can be asked. Last week I was streaming Mud Runner. This week, I don't know. I recently bought Train Sim World 2. So I might stream some of that. If not, I might dig out whatever retro. So, like, seeing as I finished Phantasy Star 1, I might start playing Phantasy Star 2. I don't know. Or I might go back and play some more PlayStation 1 games. But yeah, so it'll be a surprise.
Cool.
Not even I know what I'm playing.
And Burley, how about you? Where can people find you on social media? And what are you going to be streaming this coming week?
You can find me at Twitter at BurleyManGaming. You can also find me at Twitch at twitch.tv/BurleyManGaming. This week, you've got tomorrow will be Demon Souls. So we'll see if I break a controller or...
Yeah, I was just about to say that, man. Yeah.
There is a 75% chance of, say, somewhere in that stream, me saying, why, God, why? But through the week, it'll be Final Fantasy IX. For the most part, there may be a smaller game be thrown in one day of the week. I'm just working something out.
Cool. All right. So thank you so much, Burley, for coming on for the fourth time. Yay. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate you and hope to see you again soon, man.
Thanks for having me for the fourth time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you, man. So thank you so much. Yep. Okay.
Can I add one quick thing?
Yeah.
Like last week I said, I mentioned about getting GoldenEye running on the 360. And I was going to stream that. That's still going to happen at some point. I have to get parts from China. Because I have to properly mod an Xbox. Because I had a soft modded Xbox. I had the firmware on the DVD drive had been modded. But that won't fly for XBLA. So I've got to properly get a chip imported from freaking China, hack my Xbox, and then I'll be able to play GoldenEye Online, and you can all watch. That would be great if you could all join me. That would be lovely.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. So to end the show tonight, our indie recording artist spotlight is on Kadesh, based out of Florida. Singer-songwriter Kadesh has been creating and performing music for well over a decade, from energetic rock to acoustic-style ballads. His music continues to bring a message of hope and positivity. From his album titled Hello Love, and the song is called Waiting for You. This has been The Arena, multi-platform gaming news podcast. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Dan, and our special guest, Burleyman Gaming.
Yay.
We hope to see you in the next one. So take care, everyone. Peace out.
Bye.
Let me tell you a story. When I was young, I had dreams of glory. Oh, these mistakes seem to come like a flood. Until my days, they were done. Feel like wishful thinking, pick myself up and move to the beat of my heart and my soul. Sing a song for the dreamer.